Bearded. Biomed.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to an all-new episode of the Bearded Biomed. I appreciate you being with us today. And if you paid attention to the past episode, I got into my experiences with taking the CBET, and funnily enough, it transitioned into the next episode where I have two very well-known gentlemen in the field that are doing fantastic stuff in regards to the CBET. I'd like to introduce Donald Armstrong and David Scott, and we're going to get into a host of topics today. But first off, I'd love for you guys just to give us a little bit of your background and where you came from the beginning biomed to where you are today. So whichever one you want to go first.
Dave, why don't you go ahead and go first, bud?
I was going to let you go first because your name starts with A.
Okay, you want me to go? I'll go. Hi, everybody. I'm Don Armstrong. I've been a biomed I started being in biomed when I was 22. I'm 62 now, so you do the math. That puts me right about 40 years of doing this. I've been an in-house biomed for about 30 years of that time, mainly at Stanford University Hospital out in Palo Alto, California. I worked 7 years with GE Healthcare as a biomed program coordinator, quality manager, and then back to program coordinator again, which is GE's term for the person that runs the shop, program coordinator, PC for GE. In the last 3.5 years, I've been with Renovo Solutions as a traveling biomed, and then ultimately as a technical training manager. I love this field. I really love what Chase is doing with all the younger biomeds now doing some of these podcasts and getting the word out. Been a really, I think, a godsend. Dave and I both agreed. We talked about it extensively about how getting the word out and the new way we're doing this is really pretty encouraging for me. I think the biomed field's in good position for someone who's been doing this for a long time. I've been certified since 2006 for CBET, 2016 for CHTM. And interestingly enough, I just took the CAB-T exam, which is a certified associate biomed technologist. So I took that a couple weeks ago. I'll explain why when we get through the podcast. I'll explain why I took that, considering I'm a CAB-T, CBET, and a CHTM. Dave and I I was very lucky to get on the CBET review course with Dave. I won't go too much into that because I'm going to let Dave explain a little bit more about that because he's the originator. He's one of the people that built the CBET review course. So I was just lucky to kind of ride his amazing coattails into doing some instructing with him. So I have a lot of stories about biomed. People that know me know I love to talk biomed. Biomed has been pretty much my whole working career. So I'm happy to be here. I'm thrilled that Chase invited us to come on, and I'll pass it over to my good friend and partner, David.
All right. Thanks, Don. My name is Dave Scott, as Don said, Chase said. I'm a military-trained biomed. I went to biomed school a long time ago at Fitzsimmons Army Medical Center, which ironically now is where I work at, the same campus. It's now civilian, so I always tell people I haven't gone very far in my career, kind of right where I started at, like only walking distance from where I used to live on the base when it was a military base. Some of the stuff is still there. Most of it's been demolished or taken down. The building that I used to live in is now gone, but the original student company building is still there. And ironically enough, it's a police station now. Hmm. I started taking the CBET test back in 2004. And I was very involved with the Colorado Association of Biomedical Equipment Technicians, also known as CABMET. And I was the president back then. I served as president, vice president, and a board member on CABMET throughout the years. Probably about 20 years of involvement with the Biomed Association in Colorado. And in fact, people still ask me today, like, what's going on? Like, where's the meeting at? Or where's this and that? I'm like, I don't know. I'm not one of the people that's in the circle anymore. I don't have all the inside information or what are they having for dinner at the meeting? And you have as much knowledge of that as I do now. So in 2004, there was a bunch of us here in Colorado that wanted to study for and get our CBET. So we're like, what resources are there? And there really wasn't a lot at that time. There wasn't really anything to do. I knew that I had heard about some people in California that had done a CBET study course kind of getting together and them talking about stuff. So I contacted Paul Kelly in California. People mm-hmm. that probably know BioMed know Paul Kelly. He's like in the Northern California area. And he sent me kind of all the stuff that he had. And I kind of tried to gather stuff off the internet, whatever I could find. And then another guy named Matt Baratich, he's actually from Colorado, and you might know him. He's a clinical engineer, and he does a lot of work with AMI and several publications and so on, kind of a role model for me or someone that I would like to be like when I'm one of these days. But he helped me kind of set up the course and kind of said, you know, like, this is how I think we should do it. And from there, we kind of took off and started going in 2004. It was just, I think it was like 13 or 15 of us in a classroom in Denver, and we recorded all of it. I think I still might even have the VHS recording that was that long ago. It was on VHS. So it kind of evolved over the years until, and there were several years in there when we had, you know, people that had the highest scores. There was one year, I think we had like 250 people that passed. There was like several highest scores on CBET, CRES, and CLES. Back when the lab test was going, we had highest scores on all three of those when they used to record highest scores. Kind of fast forward to 2019, and that's how I knew that, Chase, when I was talking to you earlier about the Houston MD Expo, that I knew it was in 2019 that it was there, because I met with some people from AMI there, and it was in the spring of 2019, and we talked about CABMET selling the course to AMI, and I had to sign a non-disclosure agreement, so I couldn't talk to anybody about it and really say anything. And so then in 2019, the fall of 19, it was the CABMET course was sold to AMI, and I've been pretty much doing it since then with AMI. And then Don joined in what, was it 2020, Don?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 2020.
Because I think I did one by myself. I did all the classes, if you can believe that, Don. It was a lot.
Yeah.
And it follows a little different format, and there's been a little bit more added to it, and it's been refined even more since it's become AMI. And it's I wouldn't say it's really taken off, because it was already kind of going when AMI bought it. It was already taken off. In fact, Don is from California, or originally from California, now lives in Florida. But in 2018 or 17, I can't remember which, we partnered with, CABMET partnered with CMIA, California Medical Instrumentation Association, mm-hmm. to offer the CBET review to all the California members. And I think we had over 200 people from California just in that one group. And I'm also, being a military trained biomed, I've partnered a lot with the military in the past to do the review for free for all the military people serving overseas, and then super discounted membership. Did a class with the with METSI, the Military Education Training Center, that's in San Antonio. All the instructors there went through the CABMET CBET group, and I think there was 21 of them, and 19 of them passed. And Chase, I know you're ex-military. You know you wouldn't want to be those two people that didn't pass if you were at METSI as an instructor. I'm sure they got hazed a little bit, but from that, they kind of developed their own course. I told them, you know, like, whatever stuff I have, you guys can have all of it. You know, it's all yours. So you can develop it however you want. It's been kind of crazy, because thinking back to like just the few of us sitting around the room in Denver, to being where we used to send out emails, like PowerPoints, and then we'd be on a teleconference. We didn't have video conferencing like today. And we'd say, you know, like, next page, and they would flip to the next page.
Yeah.
And, you know, all by email. And it's crazy to think back that far back to when, you know, like 2004 when it started. So this is my 20th year doing CBET review. So it's been a lot of fun, and it's really cool to meet people that, you know, they were in the review group and, you know, thank me or whatever when they see me. It's pretty cool to see that.
So my CBET journey, funnily enough, starts with CABMET back in the day.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, I just recently took it and passed it, but it wasn't the first time I've taken it. You know, that's usually the story for a lot of people. CBET's not an easy test.
Yeah, it took me two times, Chase.
Yeah, it's probably one of the hardest things you'll do in your biomed career, you know, because it's accumulation of everything.
Yeah, the first time I took it, I was actually in Afghanistan. I want to say 2012? While I was in Afghanistan or when I got back from. But I know it was around that time frame. And, you know, the CABMET course that I took, like, I felt like it prepared me very well. And it was kind of the benefit for me, too, was, you know, the being able to communicate with peers going through the same situation you are, as opposed to just kind of sitting there and figuring out yourself with whatever material was available at the time. Coincidentally, you know, I failed it by like 3 or 4 questions. Yeah. And it just kind of, at the time I was young, it hurt my soul. I was like, this is silly. I'm not doing this no more. Fast forward to now, and I'm in the position to where, one, I have people looking towards me for mentorship, guidance, but also as a, you know, they what would you call it? It's impressionable. So the younger techs looking at somebody going after this when maybe they necessarily don't need to, but I want to set myself up for success in the future. Usually whenever I talk about people wanting to get raises or promotions or anything along those lines, don't wait for them to give you what the prerequisites are.
Yeah.
Take the energy away from them to where they can't argue you getting that next validation, whether it's pay raise or promotion.
Absolutely.
I've set myself up to the point to where I'm already probably overly qualified for the position I want, because there's no reason to bar, you know, saying I don't have a certain thing or whatever. I've always just been that very proactive with my career.
That way, whenever that position comes open, there's not really a lot of questions. It's like you're the kind of the obvious choice for it.
Yes. And jobs that I've applied for in the past, I was looked over a lot just because some of the positions out there, you need to have a CBET. Yep. Or, you know, somebody more senior than myself that just had more experience in the field was a more viable candidate just because of what they brought to the table compared to me at the time. And, you know, through years, I've learned and kind of studied how I can adapt to that situation and make myself more marketable.
Right. Now,
I haven't moved companies. I've been with the same company since I got out, but that doesn't change the fact of you can still, you know, build your credentials and make yourself viable in the field.
You know, Chase, what you mentioned about, you know, one of the tenets of leadership is modeling the way, right? So if you're asking your techs to, why not get certified, and you're not doing it yourself, it's kind of a little bit of a, not saying hypocritical, but why not go ahead and do that for yourself too? So the techs love it.
It's very much the Army has that mantra so much so. It's, you know, good leaders don't say you need to do it, we need to do. Lead by example. Mm-hmm. You know, first thing I did when my techs learned that I had passed that, said, all right, who wants to take it? Who's going to be the next on the docket?
Yeah. Who's next? Yeah, absolutely.
Pointed at the other managers in the company. I was like, who else wants to take it? Cause, you know, I think a lot of people fail to realize, which I want to get into the discussion with you guys as well, is, there's a solid line for a lot of people in the field when it comes to, is the CBET worth it, or, you know, what benefit is it going to give me? And I'm in a lot of forums and discussion boards and things outside of the normal social media interfaces that we have to where biomeds discuss these kind of things. And there's a couple of things that people just don't agree about, but I think overwhelmingly, we need to push towards the field wanting to become more credentialized, wanting to be more standardized.
Mm-hmm.
With areas of regard of right to repair and just lending ourselves credibility and, you know, making the job seem more not mom and pop, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to tell you a quote that I always said, Chase, and I know I'm sorry to interrupt you, but
no, you're fine.
I know that you said that line, and I've been saying this for a lot of years, is that before I was certified, being a biomed was my job. Once I got certified, being a biomed became my career and became my life's work. I mean, not to say I didn't respect and consider being a biomed a profession, but once I got certified, I kind of considered myself a professional biomed. And there's a lot of biomeds out there that are never going to take the exam, that have been doing this 20, 30 years, that just don't see it. And I think a lot of it is there's a little bit of fear, because sitting for that exam and not passing it, it's really a little bit of a, like you said, it hurts your soul. And a lot of biomeds just don't understand. A lot of the working biomeds have been doing this 20, 30 years. They have that overall knowledge. But a lot of the old school biomeds who are specialized. Dave will tell you that I talk about it all the time. I'm pretty much an old OR guy. I've been in the OR for probably 35 of my 40 years I've spent in the OR. So infusion pumps and some of the general biomed equipment, I'm not that great at. But I've learned over the years, because I've changed companies a few times, that I had to become a generalized biomed. But again, I became way more involved by the local biomed association with Amy. I started to write. I started to present and speak, because I felt I had the juice, you know? So again, that's just maybe my heart talking a lot more than my, you know, logical way of thinking about it. But when I talked to new biomeds, and even the people when I was in charge, or you know, I was in a leadership role, I would really present it that way. It'll change you. It'll really make you feel, give you self-confidence, change your self-perception of yourself if you get the certification. Because it's hard. You know, it's not an easy test, Chase. You know it. You just took it, right? And Dave and I do the CBET review course, and I've gone through my 2019 CBET study guide many times. You know, the used to come in a flash drive, you'd buy it, and it has 650 questions, and you could set it up for
yeah.
I've taken that a few times since Dave and I started doing this, and sometimes I pass, and not all the time, you know, so... But yeah, I like the way you put it. There's a line there that once you get certified, there's people that are kind of, it changes things.
What do you think, David?
I just think that if you look around the medical profession in general, you look and see, like, you have RNs, a registered nurse, they have to take a test. You have, like, certified cardiology techs, they have to take a test. You know, there's a lot of different certified or registered, or, you know, doctors have a board test they have to do. In biomed, it's okay to just say, I'm a biomed, and people just go, oh, okay. You know, like, you don't have to meet any requirement or anything. And I think that having that certification can help you to prove that you know what you're talking about, and you're a real professional, not just some person that works in the basement. And I think that I have friends that my mom, in fact, she's a retired, cosmetologist. So she was registered with the state of Colorado to be in cosmetology. She had to have her license at her station where she worked at, and had to do continuing education to be able to do people's fingernails. I have a friend that's a certified massage therapist, and same thing with him. He has to do continuing education and, you know, recertify every so many years. Friend that's a personal trainer, kind of the same exact thing. But in biomed, it seems it's okay to just say, I'm a biomed, and people just go, oh, okay, you're a biomed. You know, like, what is your qualification for that? And by having certification, I feel like that kind of levels you with the rest of the medical field, that they, if they know they went through a certification, they can say, oh, you know, like, I went through certification myself. I know what that was like, and it's pretty tough to get, you know, and so it kind of gives you more credibility, I think. And like you said about the right to repair thing, that could really play into it in the future, I think. And if, you know, like, one of the arguments by a lot of the OEMs is that, oh, well, these people are not qualified to work mm-hmm. on our equipment. Well, I think, in fact, probably a lot of us are more qualified than some of the people that work for the OEMs, that, you yeah. know, we have a more rounded background than a lot of the OEM people do.
I mean, even
the OEMs just get trained on their stuff. Oh, but go ahead, Chase. Sorry.
Even without the certs, we're for the most part, we're probably more qualified than most of them. But the thing is, we want to take the argument away from them. We, again, but we want to be proactive in the approach before it gets to that point. I've mentioned with Justin, you know, in our conversations, you know, what if the field ends up going to where you have to be state certified, kind of like an electrician or plumber, like to where we have to, I could see that happening someday.
I could too.
In Colorado, you have to be registered with the state to work on imaging equipment. Yeah, so it's taking a test. Yeah. It's basically on the regulations, like what paperwork to fill out. So that kind of thing, like FDA 2579, when you're doing a certified component, how do you get rid of old equipment? And there's some forms you fill out in Colorado to take it off the books. But that you have to be registered with the state to work on imaging equipment in Colorado. And that test, they look at your resume and your training also to be registered.
Yeah. Hey, Chase, I'm gonna add one more thing that you're saying about take that away from you. But I get a lot of, being in my current role and even in my past roles when I was a senior level biomed, we'd hire new biomeds. And with Renova now, I do a lot of technical training for our newer biomeds. And one of the questions that you get so often, I'm sure you do and Dave does too, is how long is it going to take me to get promoted? You get hired as either a biomed one or biomed two or biomed three. And I tell them your quickest path is, first of all, it's up to you. But you're a good portion of driving your own career. So if you want to get promoted, go get the CAPT if you're a biomed one and you're looking to become a biomed two. There's nothing stopping you from taking the CAPT. There's nothing stopping you other than, you know, years of your education and a couple of years or 3 years or 4 years of being a biomed to take the CBET. So in leadership roles, which I've had, I like it when someone comes to me and they've taken their own initiative. If they're saying, I want a promotion just because I want a couple more dollars an hour, I'm like, well, what are you doing? I mean, you're doing a great job, granted, not to say that's what you're supposed to be doing, but that's your, you know, what are you doing other than for, you got to drive your own career. And sitting for one of these certifications, not just CBET or CRES or the AMI certifications, but the networking certifications. Mm-hmm. Again, drive your own career. I mean, this is your career. If it's just your job and you want to come and do your 9 to 5, that's fine. There's room for that. It's not, again, you're not going to be promoted or you're not going to maybe be as engaged in your career. The three of us on this call right now are on this pod. We're all very engaged in this career. We are biomeds. You know, I could talk about biomed all day long and I could talk about staffing and my love for what we do. But again, as for driving your own career and making yourself a professional, this is the way, this is kind of the path at the moment. This is the path.
So you mentioned the CABET or CABET. How do you pronounce it?
CAPT.
Okay. Yeah. That's probably the easiest way to do it.
Yeah.
I know you recently took it past it. A lot of people that have discussed that again in the backdoor forums have been like, there's no purpose to you taking it unless you're trying to break into the field and get your first job.
Absolutely. I agree.
And, you know, I usually, when I get reached out from people all over the world and, you know, wanting to break into the field and they're like, I had one last week. It was a gentleman. He's like, I just got my green card. I'm about to come to the US. Mm-hmm. I watch your show. How do I break into the field? I said, you can do the apprenticeship program. You can, you know, they'll get you through that, which I love that we finally have that set up. Like that was a huge revelation for our field. But, you know, you can go through CBETS University. You can take the CAPT. Like there's options out there now to help people break into the field where most of the time we didn't have a lot of those options back in the day. And that's where the whole mom and pop things started, I think, because there wasn't a lot of avenues to credentialize yourself or get yourself set up with you know.
Well, I think that's one of the main reasons why Amy came up with the CAPT. We need to find more entry points, right? Because we're aging out. I mean, I'm 62 and I'm still a very functioning biomed and, you know, in leadership roles and biomed roles. And how do I get my next door neighbor's son who's 19, who's very technical, who would love to break into it, but is not a college kid. You know, he's been outside, you know, repairing stuff. So find an avenue for them to get into it. They just need a GED and have some kind of job in the biomed world to take the CAPT. And the reason I took a Chase, I'll tell you why I took it. And because I'm a CHTM, I'm a CBET, I teach the CBET review course. It's kind of like, you know, it's like, I don't know, having a geometry major take the math, you know, first grade math
test. I can kind of surmise why you did, though.
Yeah, I did it because I do the technical training, and we do a phase 1, 2, and 3 training with Renova with all of our students. Phase 1's entry-level technicians. Phase 2 is someone that's past the entry-level technician. Phase 3 is someone that's looking to go from a 1 to a 2 or a 2 to a 3. So when I have these phase 1 students, I'm telling them, take the CAPTI. What are you waiting for? Take the CAPTI. What are you waiting for? And I'm thinking, well, I'm strongly encouraging them when I don't really even know what I'm talking about. You know, I know that it's a entry-level biomed exam. Okay, I get that. It's not going to be CBET questions. It's going to be biomed questions, biomed 101 questions. But it's a different process than you just went through for the CBET. It's an at-home test. Registration is kind of complicated if you haven't done it before. Setting up your computer at home, you have to take it at home. It's a kind of a computer generated proctor that you have to sign into and take a test. So it's just different. And so a lot of the students were like, how complicated is it? Can you explain to me what it is? And, you know, I want to point them toward the ACI handbook. So I signed up for it. And honestly, I signed up for it, got it home, set up my computer, and my laptop wasn't fast enough. So I had to abort the first attempt at the test. And I had to go out and buy a new laptop for myself just so I could take the test.
It was telling you your setup wasn't up to par.
Yeah, it was telling me my setup was too slow. I didn't know. So I was like, you know, so then I went and got a new laptop because I needed one anyways. It didn't really hurt my feelings, and set it up and it worked fine. And it only took me, you know, it was a 2-hour test, 100 questions. You got to get 75 of them right. You know, you plow through there and then you get your results immediately. They send you the results later on down the road. And you know, Chase and Dave, I told Dave this yesterday, I let all my students know I was taking it. Now, they might be saying, yeah, but you're a CBET. Why would, you know, it should be a slam dunk to you, but you don't think my knees were shaking a little bit when I logged on? Because if I don't do well, you know, I open myself up to scrutiny.
What would you say is the primary difference between the CBET and CAPTI, you know, content wise? Obviously don't go into like what questions are.
But Dave and I both know that we don't discuss the like what's on the test and what questions it would be. I would say if you've been working in a hospital for about 6 months as a biomed and they're giving you like a general overview of what to do as a biomed, you do okay. You know, the biomed 101 course with Amy is pretty decent. I tell people if you're going to go ahead and take the CAPTI and you're really not sure, or you don't have it because there's not a study group yet for CAPTI. There's some study material out there, but it's I would say the CBET's doing multiplication and division, where doing CAPTI is adding and subtracting.
Gotcha.
You know, again, I didn't get 100% on the test. So I've been doing this for a million years and I didn't get 100%. So though it's not meant for everybody to pass it, because that wouldn't be a viable certification, right? If 100% of people pass it, then that's, you know, then that means it's anybody can take it and you might as well just start handing them out. Right. So not everybody will pass. And like the CBET, Dave and I talk about the CBET. If you take it, if you're bold enough to sign up, or if you're committed enough, not bold enough, committed enough to sign up and pay for it and take it and don't pass, take heart. I mean, give yourself some credit for trying it and then sign up as soon as you can. Again, even for CBET, we tell our people during our testing, if you take it and you don't pass, which not everybody passes, sign up as soon as you can, because it took me 2 times. It was a 15-year gap between the 2 times.
Yeah,
I took the CBET. I was mortified after the first time I took it. I think the letter I got back from Amy just opened up with, how dare you? I did so bad. It's like, you barely got 40%, dude. What are you doing? And I'm like, ah.
So, I think everybody that takes it the first time and it ends up failing it, they come across like you're almost a little to a level offended. You're just like, how could I have possibly failed this? I've been doing this. I know what I'm doing.
Well, but Dave and I hear this all the time.
You know, because there's a lot of questions on those that you don't know that, you know, you're like, I don't know if I got that one right, because it's not an easy test. And the people who write the test are all career biomed people. And I think they do a really good job. And it's definitely not easy. And the thing about, like, you know, Don said he worked in the OR. I don't know exactly what you do, Chase, like your background. I think I told you a little bit. I worked in imaging for a while too. But it's a test about everything. So I might work in the OR. So I know the OR part really well, but I don't really work with like ICU equipment, and I don't know anything about a balloon pump. I've never even seen a balloon pump, or, you know, I've never worked on a sterilizer at all. You know, like that's under contract, or our lab equipment, you know, is all under contract or whatever. So it's very well rounded. It's not like Don and I always say, you know, you need to have like a mile wide of knowledge, but like an inch deep. So you don't have to go super in depth on anything, but you got to know a lot about everything in biomed.
Now, I come from a field service background, so I'm very much the generalist.
You see a lot of stuff then.
Yeah. Yes. Probably too much stuff, but yeah, that's,
I think in hospitals, you kind of get siloed
about it though.
Yeah. Working in a hospital, you kind of get siloed into different areas. I did field service for a while too. And yeah, I worked on everything and a lot of different models of the same type of equipment at different places that I would go to. So I kind of started to know different models.
It all does the same stuff. A blood pressure pumps, no matter what model, make, or what have you, the only thing that's going to be different is the interface.
And that's the part you got to know for the test, is like how the basics of stuff like that work. Not, model, you know, 450, how does it work? You know, what's the password or something? You don't need to know anything like that.
Hey, Chase, I'll give you a good example. Just came up out of my mind. CBET versus CABT. CBET might say, how does a blood pressure NIBP work? CABT might say, what's an NIBP?
What's the acronym mean?
You know, it's kind of like, well, you know, what, you know, they won't really get too much into acronyms, but that's kind of a little bit of the difference, right? What's a, you know, what's a non-invasive blood pressure do?
What is a pulse oximeter?
It's kind of like, I'm not saying that was a question, but that's kind of the differentiation between the two. And that makes it good, because that's a good start.
The CBET has a formula sheet. The CAPT maybe doesn't.
You know, it when I logged onto it, it looked like any other testing interface that you go to the professional testing center. And there was some test. There was a calculator. My little picture was on the bottom screen. The test was on the whole left side of the screen, and the calculator was up in the right hand part of the screen. So I there was a calculator. I had to use it a couple times, some conversions. But God honest truth, I mean, I was so freaked out by getting logged out of the test, I didn't really float around too much. There was a little tab that said test accessories or something like that. But I just logged on and I saw that I kind of left the screen the way it was. And honestly, I took it. One of the reasons I took it too is I want to make sure we're doing our phase one, that we're kind of given the information that these our biomeds need to be prepared, you know?
Well, Renovo as well is kind of leading the charge in regards to, you know, moving folks through different phases and kind of building that gap bridge between people entering the field and getting them to where they are today. I mean, you guys with the intern program, all that, like,
I think TriMedics does a lot of that too.
Yeah, absolutely. TriMedics for sure.
So one of my friends, he's a biomed for longer than I've been biomed. His daughter, he calls it the Build a Biomed program that his daughter's in. And she's kind of travels around and does like initial inspections and stuff on, and then she goes to some classes, and she kind of thinks that her dad doesn't know anything, but he's been doing biomed like 40 years, and she'll ask him questions every now and then. But yeah, he calls it the Build a Biomed program that she's in, and she's doing really well. She's like, I don't know, 19 or 20.
And you know, it's kind of funny we say that, Dave, because we all know these people that we meet out, you know, either we know or friends of friends, or maybe someone's kid or someone's brother. Or you think to yourself, man, they'd be really good at this. My dad was a mechanic for a million years. I think my dad would have been a great biomed. But, you know, he was just a mechanical guy, right? And so we see these people, and we've been trying to find a way to bring these people in, as opposed to saying, go get your two-year degree, go to CBET University, go to DeVries, go to, back in my day, it was Hild, two-year degree out of Hild University, Hild College out of California. And then, you know, when you get in the field we heard this story so much. I never even heard of this before, but I love it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's great that we're building these entry points
I think people. Like you guys, Don and Chase are both, you guys are both managers. And I think probably one of the biggest things that you can do for your people is one, have confidence in your people and encourage them, you know, to do more. You know, they might not have as much confidence on their own, but if you build them up, they're going to feel more confident. And then two is, I think that the, like a course for a biomed person, we've had several people in my, where I work at, go from, you know, sterile processing. We had some pharmacy techs take the CAB-T and get into biomed. So I think that, like, if you're coming from outside, CAB-T is kind of like getting your foot in the door. You know, that's a good way to get your foot in the door. Once you get hired on to someplace, they have tuition reimbursement. You start going to school, you know, like there's online colleges, like we talked about, the College of Biomed Equipment Technology, and there's more than just that one that have online courses. Start studying for, you know, online courses. And then once you're in the field a few years, then you can take the CBET. That's, to me, that's like one of the best paths. You know, if you go down that pathway, you really can't go wrong, and you'll be getting reimbursed from your work for taking all those classes. So it's really free for you, but you have to just dedicate some of your time on the side. Like I know, Chase, I listened to some of your podcasts and you were studying for the CBET while you had a new baby. So I don't think that if you can do that and do it. And when I
was to say, it made it rewarding.
It was rough. You had your hands full and then you also had, you know, you're trying to study for it. So to me, there's no excuses, you know, like for someone not to do it, you know, like to do that. If you're planning on doing that, when I took the CBET, my father passed away, in April and I took the test and I actually thought about backing out for a minute. And then I thought, no, you know, I'm just going to do it. I've been working on it all this time. And I can tell you when, before they said, you know, like you can begin your exam, I was talking to my dad almost every week, you know, how's the studies going and how's this going? And that, and then I was sitting there and I'm like, man, I don't have, you know, like I'm not going to be able to tell my dad if I passed or not, you know, and how it's going. And I almost started crying before they started putting out the test. And I'm like, please just hand out the test, you know, and this is when it was still on paper, because that's all I could think about was, you know, my dad talking to me about the test when I was getting ready for it. But I think that everybody has things in life. You just have to, you know, set aside, this is my career and this is what I'm going to do, and get it done.
You know, one of the keys that I had, Chase, too, with all my technicians I worked with over years, I said, I'm going to go ahead and take it. And I said, you know what you need to do is just really just register for it. Once you register for it, it becomes real. You know, they're telling me in January, I want to do it by this year. I said, well, register for it now. But once you register for the May test, it becomes real. Then you got to sit down and do it.
Well, yeah, because that money gets taken out of the account and you become an investor. Right.
It's a pretty good chunk of change.
You're a shareholder at that point.
Yeah. And getting back
to the exam. How did you do that, Chase, having a baby and like going through? I'm sure you had really odd hours and like just probably some literally crazy stories.
Well, yeah. I mean, he is, he'll be 7 months next week or, you know, when people are listening to this. And, you know, he's still got middle of the night feed. So, you know, 11:30, 2:30, 3:00, 4:00, just depends on that day. And usually I would block out about maybe an hour and a half after that final middle of the night feeding. And then afterwards, if I still had time, you know, I'd go out into the garage and work out because I was already awake.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was, sometimes I felt like I was in a dream just because it was, I wasn't completely there. It was kind of a robotic almost, just going through each of the modules, different topic points, which, you know, some of them I didn't feel I needed to study as much just because some modules are a little bit easier than others.
Everybody has their strong points and weak points.
Yeah. But me, one of my weakest ones, probably electronics, just because I'm sorry, I've not replacing resistors anymore nowadays.
Yeah, you don't work with it that much anymore.
What's a resistor? No, I'm
kidding. But you know, another thing I noticed too, from back when I took it the first time to now, the test has evolved. Mm-hmm. And that's something I was appreciative of, just because the field has evolved. The requirements of the biomed have changed. And like I always tell my technicians, just people I speak with, if you're getting into the biomed field, you are also accepting the fact that you are going to be expected to continually adapt, change, and build yourself to combat the workload and things that are going to be expected of you. I mean, when I first got into the field, cybersecurity and IT was never a conversation, much less now that's part of the CBET test now. To have IT questions in there, like that wasn't a thing back in the day.
Well, I tell you what, Chase, about 7 years ago, I don't know when the last time we took it, about 7 years ago, Amy reached out to a bunch of CBETs, CRESs, and CLESs back in the day to come to Virginia to do it. It's called a JTA, a job task analysis. And it was their plan or the reason why we did this too was to say, what are biomeds doing now? Right. Because remember, electronics used to be like 20% of the test.
Yeah.
Now it's only 10% of the test because a bunch of CBETs, we sat around and said, this is about a percentage of time that we're doing our job. So 10% of the test is electronics, right? 14% of it's now networking, 14% of it's safety, 12% of it's anatomy and physiology, 25% medical equipment, and then 25% troubleshooting. That was all come together by the group of biomeds coming together and saying, this is what our job is. Because beforehand, HIT wasn't even a part of it.
Yeah.
And we're like, no, HIT's got to be a part of this test now. And
there was a little bit rolled in the electronics section when I did it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So we got rid of electronic heavy on the exam to less components, electronics, more block stuff. And then add some HIT because we don't need a biomed nowadays to know what a resistor code for red.
Everything's more modular now.
Gray. Yeah.
Yeah, very much so.
Replace components. It's a module.
And then about a year and a half later, Chase, I was lucky again. They called me again. This is before I was even teaching with Dave. They pulled 24 of us in a room and said, we need you guys to write questions. We sat there for 3 days and we wrote, 300 new CBET questions. It was called item. It was an item writing project. Item is the question. Key is the answer. The other three are detractors.
Yeah.
So me as a biomed, I just sat there and thought of, I think I wrote maybe 20 questions, sit in a room with all these manuals and all these textbooks. And we just like, okay, what's the wavelength of a CO2 laser? Question mark, you know, and whether that was either accepted or not, that was kind of up to the certification board to approve them or not. But again, they need to replenish these bank of questions. It's not, can't be the same ones that were asked of me in 1986 versus the one I took in 2016. They're not the same questions. So again, like you said, the test does evolve and that's a good thing.
I think
David,
that one of the things, I think one of the things about CBET, everybody focuses on the test, you know, the test. One of the big things that I think is a huge plus to CBET, and I feel like people should do this anyway, even if they're not a CBET, is a continuing education journal. I did that before I ever had my certification. In fact, every year when I'd sit down with my boss for my annual review, they'd say, get out your binder and show me, you know, what stuff have you learned this year? What have you, you know, and some of it was self-study, just getting the manual out and going through, you know, like learning a new piece of equipment. Like I remember back when there was an OR microscope that I didn't really know a lot about. And I learned quite a bit about it over the course of a year working on it. It was used in brain surgery and it was probably a little more complicated than just a regular microscope, but I learned quite a bit, you know, just from hands-on experience, which that was something I put in my continuing education journal as not as a CBET journal, but for my annual review. But I think that having, you know, like when you're working in biomed, sometimes you get lost in the day-to-day stuff so much that you don't realize like how much you've learned over the course of a year. And if you write it down like that in a journal, like what stuff you're learning and whether it was taught to you by someone else, like say Chase, you sat down with one of your people and went through, you know, the newest, I don't know, like non-invasive blood pressure machine and how it works, you know, a certain model, you know, that's something they could probably write down in their journal. But the CBET forces you to have a journal based on different categories of study, and the continuing ed part, like technical classes and so on, you have to have a minimum of 15 CEUs, but there's no maximum of CEUs. So to renew your certification, you have to have 30 CEUs in a 3-year period. All 30 can come from that continuing education part, and it's pretty easy to do if you go to, like, say, a manufacturer class, and it's like a 4-day class, and you're in class 8 hours a day, you get 32 CEUs just from going to that class. And then you get CEUs for, you know, working full-time. But I think it's good for people to have a journal to kind of track their progress over the years.
Well, and again, it comes quite useful during performance review time, mm-hmm. when you're trying to argue for yourself.
What have you done?
Why you're deserving of something. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think there's also an opportunity, since having you guys on here and you run the CBET course too, is some of the reasons I have read or heard why people don't want to take the CBET. One, the cost, which I usually, it's a one-time thing if you pass the first time, but Donald knows we've invested twice though. Yeah. But I look at it as an investment in myself, in my career. And the other one would be the cost of renewal, which, again, it's not as much as tests. Now, if you add up every 3 years for the rest of your life, I could see, you know, how that might sting a little bit when you're ready to retire.
What, like, again, $50 a year? I think it's $150 to renew.
Something like that, yeah.
I think it's $100 to renew.
Which, if you look at other professional certifications, it's a lot cheaper than what I talk to a lot of other
people that
are certified or registered now, or whatever.
There are companies out there that will reimburse you after you take the test and pass it. Mm-hmm. There are still some, I'm sure, out there that don't do that. That also lends, because a lot of people don't realize too, like, you getting certified isn't just benefiting you. It's benefiting the organization you're a part of.
Huge. Yeah, I agree.
So a lot of those companies that take that into accordance and realize that, most of the time they're going to help reimburse you for that test. I've even heard of some hospital systems and, you know, likewise reimbursing or providing financial support to help you get your renewal.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's required for my job where I work at. In fact, mine is due this year, and I got the nasty letter saying, you know, like, you need to renew this or send us your new cert, or we're going to cut off access to your computer.
I'm pretty sure mine doesn't assist with the renewal fee, but they do the reimbursement for passing it. But that's something, if you're going to be an organization that is helping to, you know, fund you, your reimbursement for passing the test, well, they should also, you know, be a part of that process of renewal, mm-hmm. as well, because you are renewing the cert for the company's benefit as well.
I also think that as an employer, you know, your employees, I heard, like, some of your previous podcasts, people talking about, oh, you know, people are leaving because they got a better offer for, like, 50 cents more an hour here or there, or a dollar more an hour. I think if you invest in your people, and they can see that, you know, you're invested in them, they might want to stay there more than what, you know, just leaving, like, as soon as a opportunity comes up somewhere else, because they see that you are looking out for them.
Yeah. A lot of the times when someone's leaving a job, they're not leaving just for the money though. They're leaving also because they're management.
Almost always. It's a good combination of the two. You're right.
And it goes again, you know, most people aren't going to leave for a dollar raise if they really love where they work.
Right.
Most people transitioning to different position, it's because you're transitioning to a higher echelon position or something that's going to benefit you long term, not in the short term. I mean, those are probably the two main reasons, you know, the renewal fee and the cost of the exam that I hear all the time. I've even heard some people say, well, I got the CBET, I got the position I'm in, you know, I'm in a position now that I don't have to renew it, so why even bother? And I'm like, you went through the whole shebang of studying for the test, taking the test. Like, why would you just let that go to the wayside?
Well, it used to be one of the biggest things too, Chase, was a lot of people would say, you know, I don't travel. I'm a working biomed. I don't get to go to these conferences like some people do. And you know, how am I going to get, used to be like 15 points before it became 30 points after 3 years, which everybody said when that went to 30 points, they're like, oh my God, I'm never going to get, I can't even get 15 points. And, you know, the webinar Wednesdays, all the things now you could find online, you don't, Amy made it, ACI made it feasible to where you never even need to leave your shop to get the 30 points.
It is way easier nowadays to maintain your cert than it was back in the day.
Yeah. And they made it that way because they understand. I mean, guys, like, I'm lucky where even when I worked for GE, I just paid out of pocket to go to the Amy Exchange, or I paid out of pocket to go to MD Expo because I wanted my CEUs.
Before, when I was talking about that 4-day class, you know, 32 hours, that was 1 point. You know, for, so you did 32 hours of training.
That's painful.
You got 1 point. Now it's CEUs. So you get 32 CEUs. So it was a lot. It's a lot easier to get to that CEU.
And you know, it's the forward thinking companies, Chase, and hospital systems and are building in those incentives now. I know at one of the hospitals, the standalone hospital I worked for about a year, to be promoted from a 2 to a 3, you had to be certified. At Stanford, where I worked for years, there was a biomed position, and the next level up was certified biomed position. So you weren't getting the certified biomed position unless you were certified, of course, right?
Yeah.
Then we could promote you. It wasn't like a raise. It was a promotion. Same thing with this other hospital I worked at, in-house program. Renovo has incentives to get certified. We want our technicians to get certified. And we incentivize them to do it. They have to do the work, of course. And
she said it makes the company look better.
Yeah, let's say even if you're getting $1 more an hour, that's $2,000 a year. You know, that's nothing to sneeze at after over a 20-year period, you know, so that's, or, you know, 4 or 5% more because you got an increase because you're certified. And
Don, at your company, don't they get another day of PTO or something like that too, an extra?
Yeah, there's part of our incentive is that a little more time off.
Everybody wants that.
See, that's pretty cool. Yeah. See, that's the kind of stuff that we need to, I don't want to say glamorize, but make it in our field to where people understand, like, this is a good thing. We just need to do a better job at making it more, I don't know, to the benefit, you know, obviously incentivize, like what Renovo's doing, that's an incentive. But how can we do that structure wise for the entire biomed field, you know, other than just saying, hey, you're going to be recognized as being certified. You might have the opportunity to get, you know, raises, that kind of stuff. Like, what can we do industry wise to help make it look sexier, I guess.
Yeah, I think what you're doing and what Justin's doing and what Amari, I mean, you guys have a voice and you could talk to the people that are listening to it and explain, because Dave and I, we could talk about this all day, what it's meant to us. It's real hard to get that message out to people that just don't want to do it.
Yeah,
or are afraid to, you know, take the test. And really, I'm kind of hoping that we actually, with our CBRET review, and Dave and I are pretty really approachable and reachable people, that one thing about going through the CBRET review course that we teach, we kind of demystify it a little bit. You go through our training class, and Dave and I do more than just present a 80 PowerPoint slide on electronics, or we discuss kind of what it's all about and why we're showing you this or why we're teaching you this. And, you know, this is not some scary thing. It's a question and 4 choices. It's not easy. It's not difficult, or I should say it's not hard, but it's kind of difficult to pass it. But the question's there and the answers are there. You know, so it's kind of, Dave and I do our best because we don't know if the questions are going to be in the exam. We have no idea, actually. It's meant to be that way. We follow the ACI handbook. We know what kind of information we're supposed to provide. And we give our 125 to 150 students twice a year, and sometimes even more than that, because we do teach a private course sometimes as well, what you kind of need to know, and we don't say, you know, make sure you know a nitrous oxide tank is blue. We can't really say that, even though we do teach that.
Yeah.
You know, it's part of the program, but we don't say, you better know that. That's going to be.
Need to know that one for the test.
Yeah.
And, we don't know. We don't know.
We don't know. We don't want to say that because it may not even be anywhere near the test, right?
There's a lot of stuff you probably study that's not on the test. You probably know that, Chase, firsthand.
Painfully, yes.
Yeah. I think it's one of those things that you can't study too much for.
Yeah, and we get so many people that say, I'm just going to sign up for it and wing it and see how I do. That way I know for next time. And I'm like, don't do that. You could. There's so many avenues now to study. The e-learning, I know you talked about it last time on your podcast. That's one thing. The study, the smart study, what you could pay for, but it's not that expensive. It's not cheap. It's not that expensive.
So just bringing back to the e-learning thing, which prompted this whole conversation.
Yeah.
You know, I've spoken with Danielle and, you know, I plan on giving my two cents on it. Me personally, I didn't feel like it helped me as much as I thought it would, but I also came to realize that maybe I knew more than I thought I did in regards to just how long I've been doing this, that honestly, the on the job training is what really set me up for success on that test. I think what you guys are doing with the actual study group is probably going to be more beneficial for the majority of the field of preparing for the CBET than most other options out there. That's just my opinion. And, you know, that's kind of what I do here. I give my opinion and you mm-hmm. either like it or you don't.
But, I think too, I mean, Chase, to your advantage is that you do field service. So you see a big variety of different stuff.
Yeah.
So you got to kind of learn a little bit about everything, where if you work in a hospital, you might not see as much variety because you're the pump person or the vent person or the, I don't know, anesthesia person or whatever. Yeah. You kind of get siloed into one thing where you are more well-rounded, and that's what the test is about, being well-rounded.
Yeah, and it's, the questions it's very, are, you want to be generalized for sure.
And the questions are geared for someone with a two-year degree that's been working as a biomed for 3 years. We have to approach that line. People that don't have that experience are probably going to have a hard time with that question. People that have got the couple years experience in the hospital are probably going to be okay with that question. But, you know, that's a differentiate between how do we ask a question? You know, how do we lay that out? And again, Dave and I both passed the test. You just passed the test. So, you know, if you haven't worked in a hospital for more than about a year or two, some of the stuff you would have no idea.
Well, I mean, right, I'm closing in on 15 years in the profession now. So
there you go. Right.
I think Don and I together, 75 years, Don? Mm-hmm. This is like my next year is 35 for me. And Don's at 40. So
I hope to make it there.
We're old.
You will. It goes by so amazingly fast.
Chase, I didn't do my CBET till I was like 20 or till I was like 15 years in biomed. And Don was even more than that when he was in biomed. But I think since then it's kind of become more of a thing, you know, that's something better to have than it was back then.
Well, I did it backwards too. I went and got the CHTM first.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, different experience. If you remember back when I first introduced myself, I said I worked with Matt Baratich to develop the first CBET review with CABMET. And I was talking to Matt, and he was kind of if you don't know Matt, he's a professional engineer and he's a PhD clinical engineer. He does consulting. Matt Baratich, you can find him online, but I asked him, Matt, do you think I should get certified? And he said, Dave, it wouldn't hurt. And I thought, okay, coming from him, I'm doing it. You know, like if he says that it wouldn't hurt, then yep, that's something I'm going to do. And then I thought, well, how can we do this? And that's how it kind of all started. But going back to that e-learning, Chase, I know even previous to you having the podcast last time, that Amy was looking at that course and they had actually approached me a little bit about it, about, you know, like reviewing it and seeing like what kind of changes or fixes could be made. And we kind of came to the agreement that, you know, like a lot of it was based on stuff that they purchased from CABMET, but then there was other things added. And I don't know how the whole e-learning course was developed. I wasn't part of that, but some of it piggybacked on what we do, but some of it's like a lot different. So they said, you know, like, Dave, we think you're too close to the product, you know, to be a good reviewer of it. So they got someone else that's reviewing it and it's being redeveloped. And I think that, you know, 2024 or maybe even before that the new e-learning course from Amy for CBET review is going to be available. And I think it'll be vastly improved. And I think they talked to you a little bit about it, looking at it too, Chase. I know Don's offered to look at it too. So I think it'll be an improved product very, very soon.
I think there would be a great benefit for you guys to look at it for sure. But yeah, I have offered to throw my hat in the ring with that just because it's something I care about. You know, if I'm going to give a criticism to something, I am going to,
very good,
you know, allow my time to help fix it.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's just with anything. That's how I am.
If you got time if you got time to criticize something, you have time to hopefully be part of the solution, right?
Which I got messages after I posted that episode saying you should just, if you have nothing nice to say, don't say it at all. I said, one, that's not how we improve things.
Yep.
Two, if you had noticed the entire episode, it was about 45 minutes. I saved
that was criticism like a aspect minute or two.
for like 1 or 2 minutes at yeah. the very end where the whole yeah. 40 minutes was talking about why the C-bet's important to take.
Yeah. yeah.
So for those, and then I asked the gentleman, did you even watch or listen to the episode? No. So yeah. you just saw the title or the explanation and just like assumed
you said, that if I just it, went if you on don't say something. It, it'll never improve. You know, yes. and you can't always act like everything is rosy, you know, and it, when it's not, and you can see that, you know, you can't look at the world like that or you're never going to get any improvements on anything.
And believe me, Dave and I welcome any feedback from our CBET review course. So we get, luckily enough, we get pretty positive feedback, Dave, don't you think?
I mean, starting from 2004 to where it was in 2019 when it was sold, mm-hmm. you know, to Amy, like, every time I went through it, you know, there were some improvements made or things added or taken out or, you know, like every time, you know, we went through it, it was a new revision and it was constantly adding to it. And back before, I think it was 2011, they made you sign the non-disclosure agreement for 2012. We used to actually meet with people after the test and we would take notes on what they remembered off the test, you know, and then we would change our presentations based on what we knew was on the test. But now, you know, you sign that non-disclosure so you can't talk about it anymore. But we were revising it every single time, you know. Right. So I think that the e-learning thing, they might have gone along forever thinking, oh, you know, this is pretty good. But I know that there was already some questions previous to your last podcast on the e-learning where you talked about it a little bit. That Amy was already looking at it. It was already something that was on the radar. That you just pointing it out might maybe sped it up a little bit. I don't know, but I think it was already something that was being talked about before it was ever on your podcast.
Well, I look to transplant myself into the field to eventually, you know, be a part of some of the stuff that like you guys have done with Amy and like the board and all that kind of stuff because. You know, I would like to be a part of that contributing. I did apply for a board seat like a year, like actually right when the podcast first started. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't certified at all. I had nothing. So I understand why I didn't get in there this time. But I think the next go around, I'm going to throw my hat in the ring.
Yeah, it'd be at the top of the list, I think, next time.
Well, you know, a lot of people applied from what I hear, which is great.
You got my vote.
Yeah, it's a tough one, Chase.
It doesn't mean anything, but you got my vote.
I've applied for it for a couple the board of directors position a couple times too, and honestly, you know, it's an in-house biomed. I probably had a stronger case about an in-house biomed from working from an ISO because they really want to mix it up. You know, if they have someone from like, you know, back in the day George Mills, and then they'd have director positions from Sodexo and TriMedics, and then when I was at Stanford, I had a probably better chance, but. The TMC is a really good place to go. The Healthcare Technology Leadership Council is a great way to go. Working on standard committees is a great way to go. And having that CBET behind your name or CHTM, which you have now too, Chase, really does bolster your chance to get on those committees. Because Amy, like every place, is looking for people to get involved.
I am in a special position, which a lot of the other fellow social media contributors as well are in. I think a good spot that we could leave this off at mm-hmm. is in regards to the CBET and just certification in general. I think a good way to determine if you should take it or not is personalize it. Why do you think you do or do not need this? Find a reason why you need to take it. But I made it personal for me for two reasons. One, I care about moving forward in my career. By the time I retire, I want to look back and say I made a significant contribution to the biomed industry. secondly on that is the position I am in now with this podcast and a lot of people slowly learning that I exist is I am putting myself out there for the biomed industry. So I kind of have to hold myself to a higher level of expectation than maybe somebody that's just going and doing the 9-to-5 job because I'm representing the profession. So if I am doing that and I'm speaking on the profession, I probably need to have some acronyms, you know, next to my name and constantly improve my credentials and, you know, give some credentialing to what I'm, you know, some accolades to myself. That way, when people listen to me, they know I might know what I'm talking about.
Absolutely. Couldn't have said it better. I mean, and that's, again, I think that's why Dave and I so strongly promote this. I mean, again, like I said, for me, it was personal because I wanted to become someone they could be looked at as a lead biomed when I first got certified. I tried it back in 98 or whatever, maybe 88 even. And I think there was just some of my colleagues were certified. I wanted to be one of the guys, two or three people there in our department that was certified, a department of 30 or 40 at that point. Then I just, I don't know, I grow up and I matured a little bit. I can actually sit down and read. Back then when I was young, I was just bouncing off the walls, I guess. And one of my colleagues said, hey, why don't we try to get certified? And so our director let us have an hour a day at work to sit down and work on getting certified. They opened up lead biomed positions at that point and helped you if you were certified. So I wanted to be someone that was looked upon as a kind of a leader in our department. And when I sat down and studied, and this is going to be a fact that not many people know, if you study for the test, you do better.
Go figure.
Hopefully they know
yeah,
that.
Yeah, go figure. Yeah. Because there are some pretty good numbers out there. There's some pretty good numbers out there, Chase, that Dave and I don't know the exact numbers, but the passing rate for CBET is just a little over 50%, probably closer to 55%. The people that take the test that take the CBET review course, it's over 60%, in the mid-60s that take our course. So again, and the people that spend more time in the LMS with Amy, they could track that. They do better even still. So Dave and I say, it's odd that if you study, you do better and put in a little time. So again, I don't know exact numbers. I know that, again, the CBET is not something that everybody passes. All the questions, I know that we wanted to end it somewhere, but all the questions get evaluated every year. If there's a question on the CBET that everybody gets wrong, everybody gets right all the time, they have to challenge that question. There's a question on the test that everybody gets right every time or wrong every time, they have to look at it. So they're always constantly evaluating the test to make sure it's a true certification. So I tell people, if you take it and you pass it, it's a really huge accomplishment and be proud. Put those initials after your name. CHTM is the same thing. So anyways,
I have one last thing to add. I think the biggest thing when you look back, when like looking at this and like what you're doing, Chase, and what Don and I do, is when I originally told you I got involved with the Biomed Association and officer and all that kind of stuff, is because I wanted to make a difference. And I look back at my career and I say, you know, like, I always ask this to myself all the time, even still today, have I made a difference? And I think I can answer, yes, I have. Mm-hmm. Just the amount of people that I've helped, you know, better themselves. And I think that both of you guys too, like you look back at what you're doing and you say, you know, have I made a difference? And, you know, have you made a difference in your organization? Have you made a difference in the field and the whole career? And I think that, you know, like by what you guys are doing, I'd say the answer is yes. And I think maybe everybody should ask themselves that question, you know, are you making a difference? And if the answer is no, you know, figure out like your niche. That's kind of what I did. And that's kind of where it all started, you know, and it's been going, you know, 20 plus years now. So figure out, you know, like how you can make a difference.
That's great. Well, so really well that's, said.
That's, yeah, that's a good way to end it right there.
Yeah.
Find your niche to make a difference. Either small, medium, or big.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And this was fantastic to have you guys on. I'm always, you know, loving to talk anything biomed. And obviously, you guys you're still doing it. So I think from everybody.
Well, thanks for having us on, Chase.
It's been a great ride. It's
been a pleasure and an honor to be on with you. And we, all of us old salts in the field, we really appreciate what you're doing. We've been looking for these avenues to get the word out. And I think what you guys have found, the social media part of it, is really making a difference. It really is.
I appreciate that. So lastly, if anybody wants to reach out to you or, you know, wants to learn more about the CBET, go ahead and, you know, drop some info and we'll end it there.
Okay, well, I'm available anytime. You could email me. I'm at Renovo, darmstrong at renovo1.com. You can email me, and I would love to hear from you.
You can get, and probably the best way to get a hold of us is through education@amy.org.
Yeah.
And they forward any emails. You know, if it says this is for Dave or Don or whatever, they'll forward it on to us.
All right. Well, as always, thank you for being on. Thank you for those that are listening, watching. Please hit like, subscribe, you know, leave a review if you may, and may the beard be with you.
Thanks, everybody.
Bearded Biomed.